Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I think that's a new one, the Montana Electric Cooperative.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one before. So, you know, Dennis and George filling in for Aaron today. It's the 9 o'clock hour, so yeah. Everybody else in the state is joining us.
We are statewide. Plus, you know, I was just telling you, I got a text from Dave Nordell sitting in the Minneapolis St. Paul airport listening to us.
Wondering how the heck we got on the radio.
Yeah, how did the George and Dennis show get back on the radio?
But
we're here and yeah.
Well, you know, it's that's one of the great things about living in this country is even we can get on the radio,
right?
You know, I mean, even us.
We didn't even go to school for this.
Exactly.
They just give us some microphones and say, please God, don't say these three words. And
don't say those words. I know.
There
don't
used to be a list that said, do not say these words.
There you go. Yes. So we've talked about a lot of stuff today. You know, the importance of getting out to vote. You know, we've talked about just political practices in campaigning and advertising, right, and all of that. And you know, those horrible campaign ads are driven by America's love of reality television, Jerry Springer-esque type stuff.
Yeah, you went back to Jerry Springer, yeah.
Yeah,
but
you know,
it's true.
It is.
You know, and ultimately, not always, you know, elections do matter. And because it affects policy, and it even if it can be overturned and changed at the next election, you still have to live with these consequences,
yeah,
of the people you elect.
Absolutely. And you don't want to elect people like Joe Biden, who outright just ignores the Constitution, and it tells you he's right, ignoring the Constitution. And he said one day, he goes, yeah, this is probably unconstitutional, but I'm going to do it anyway until the Supreme Court tells me otherwise.
Right.
That's not the way it works there, Mr. President.
It's not supposed to.
No.
Not at all.
And so that's why it's important to educate yourselves and important to vote. And, you know,
well, and Montanans are going to get barraged. We're going into the state races for all the, you know, the legislative seats. I think governor, all of that's up this next election. Plus, then you're going to have the big Senate race. And, you know, I mean, they're not even subtle when they say, you know, there's two Senate seats for Montana and there's two Senate seats for California. It's a lot. They can spend millions of dollars,
yeah,
in Montana. And they're going to, because that seat is as equal to one seat in California or Texas.
Right.
So why wouldn't they?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is still the cheapest seat to buy in the Senate.
And you're going to see them trying to buy it, because
right,
you're going to see probably more money spent on this election.
It's going to be crazy.
Than ever before.
Yeah. And that's going to spill into all the other elections. And
yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
see that?
Travis,
we
yeah,
were desperate.
They were desperate. That's how Dennis and George are on the radio this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, they're desperate. So
there you go.
Yeah, so that is going to be a lot of information that's going to be put out to you. But we'll be right back.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
That bumper music always makes me want to eat a steak.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it just sounds like beef. It's what's for dinner.
So we're statewide. We got to get at least one more Christmas song in before. Come on, Travis.
That's right. So if you weren't around this morning.
We started with one Christmas song.
Dennis, he played two, I think.
Oh. But
Dennis just says, we need Christmas music, and bam, there it is.
Travis,
you know,
is magical.
He mentioned something, food, bam, there's
boom,
some right
yeah,
there. It's magical things happen around here. It's there's no explaining.
On the top of the world's tallest freestanding
brick building.
Structure.
Yes. I hate this place.
I know. I tell you this every time. the history of this building is pretty amazing.
World's tallest freestanding brick building.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep.
It's nuts, and it shakes, man. When one day we
remember
were
it shook, and we're both looking at each other like, man, "This is the end.
We're going down for the door." Oh yeah, but we're on the top floor.
We're on the top floor. We're just gonna say hello to the birds.
Exactly. So we do have a lot at stake in these elections, and you know, coming up, we have Corey Swanson running for Montana Supreme Court. And, you know, I listened to him a little bit the other day. Aaron had him on. And this is a quote from him that I liked. And this is what I want to know. He says, when Montanans go to court, they expect a fair judge who will issue rulings based on the facts and the law, not on ideology. I'm committed to being a fair and impartial Chief Justice who will interpret the law and not legislate from the bench. Montana voters should demand that of every judge and judicial candidate. And that's it. Right. That's all I ask for.
Yeah.
Is that exactly. But, you know, we talk about Joe Biden not following the Constitution and knowingly ignoring it. But you have the same thing with attorneys all the time.
Right.
They break the law, skirt the law. They do all these things. And it's anything to get the result you want is right. What it's become.
Yeah.
You know, it used
well,
to be.
It applies to them, but not this situation.
Right.
You know? I didn't violate this law. I really just, you know, I was doing this.
Yeah. Well, it's like this, Dennis, and I'll break this down for people and put it in very simple terms. So if you're a hunter, you go out and there are rules to hunting.
Right.
You know, you don't hunt on private land unless you have permission. You don't do this. You don't do that.
Shoot from the road.
Yeah. You know, and these are all very simple, basic rules. Now, have everybody been out at one time or another and saw a giant buck on private land or on the road or something and sat there and thought, wow, if he would just go that way, you know, or some, yeah, everybody gets presented with that opportunity at one point in their lives. But it's doing the right thing when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
And it's doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because
you're expecting anything in return.
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes me angry that you have these people like attorneys, judges, that whatnot, that will break the law to get the result that they want. And yep. They're the ones that are supposed to be working within the law.
Yeah.
You know, and fighting for the law, the rule of law, and that sort of thing. But so Corey Swanson, check him out. He's running for Montana Supreme Court. And, you know, I saw something here. Oh, you know, here's one. Three foods that fight memory loss. Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
I should know what those are.
I forgot them already.
Exactly. Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman on the Supreme Court, dies at 93. Yep. you know, that's a glass ceiling breaker right there.
Right.
You know, first one. And she was there for a long time. And, there's some things that I just don't understand, but there is a couple other things.
You've got a stack of papers over there.
I got a ton of them here, and you know, we really haven't even gotten to it because we've had
all
so
this
much
hard work and we've been
good calls and yeah. Everything. There is a event up in Bozeman. It's an incredible it's a piano recital, and what it is this Colonel Eric Hastings in Bozeman. He retired from the Marine Corps, and he spent, I think it was 4 years, learning to classical piano.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting on a concert up there that's going to benefit the Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation, which is something that Aaron is very passionate about. So, you know, it's Aaron, you can look it up on the Montana Talks on the app. It's Incredible Montana Marines set to perform recital in Bozeman. So that's a fundraiser for Warriors and Quiet Waters. That's a good event.
Well, and it's Freedom Friday. You know, there's December 7th coming up. And
that's right.
I'm sure there'll be some ceremonies around the community for that.
Well, I sure hope so. And, you know, I hope that the majority of people listening to us know what December 7th is without us having to tell them. But, you know, it's Pearl Harbor Day. And, you know, if there is a ceremony, get out there and participate in it, because it's almost all those people are gone that were around in the service when that happened.
I believe they're having one out at the National Cemetery.
Are they?
Laurel.
Oh, good. Yeah. National Cemetery in Laurel. Good. You know, I just, I'm passionate about these days, about Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Pearl Harbor Day, all of them, because, you know, those are traditions that they're going to go away if we don't start taking our kids and grandkids and creating a tradition that they remember and recognize and understand. Then all these things are going to go away because, you know, those people that put those things on are getting older and older, and somebody needs to take their place.
Yep.
Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right,
all
George,
right, we're back.
Dennis in for Aaron, and you know, it's Freedom Friday, and this is something that somebody talked to me about this week, and they said, you know, I want you to talk about this on the radio, so I'll bring it up. So it seems that nowadays, the governor, whoever, politicians, it doesn't matter what level. Right. So, flying the flag at half mast.
Yeah.
So we see it all the time now for everybody. And so there is flag code. It's not law, so they can't punish you for not following it. But, you know, the thing that gets me is you had Rosalind Carter, who died, and you know, that's sad that she died, but she wasn't president,
right?
And so the president, he can have that afforded to him, that honor. But you know, think about it, the men and women that are serving in the military, if they die, the majority of them don't get a flag at half mast.
Right.
They might at your command, maybe. But certainly their spouses don't get a flag flown at half mast.
Right.
So why would the president's wife get one flown at half mast? And it's, and I'm not picking on her, and I, you
right,
know,
because we talked about it. It seems like every time you turn around for the ones that make you go, why are they doing this? I understand somebody's passed away. This is tragic, whatever.
Yeah.
But There's a significance
to it.
You should actually, it's not supposed to be regular and consistent. It should be an abnormal thing that says something out of the ordinary has happened.
Right.
And as a nation, or as a state, we are acknowledging this happened.
Yes. And I think that, just like so many other things, it's losing its meaning.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody wants something. We got to do it. If I do it for them, well, I got to do it for them.
Well, and I actually go to an extreme of saying, you know, we end up weaponizing some of this stuff. Instead of it being a way of communicating to the nation or to the world what we're feeling, we pick and choose.
Yes.
I mean, we're not consistent. That's for sure. I mean, if we lowered the flag at half mast because we did it for this person, well, then technically it means we should probably be doing it for everyone that's in that situation.
Right.
Like you're saying, every time somebody from Congress dies, every time somebody from the legislature passes away, the flags go down. I mean, our flags would always be flying at half mast.
Yeah, exactly. And so the half mast dictates that the president or a governor or the mayor of the District of Columbia are the three people that can order a flags to be flown at half mast. And typically, that is decided when the nation or a state is in mourning. And so it's usually marks the death of a government official, military member, first responder. You know, and you can look it up. You can go look at the U.S. flag code. I'm not going to read it to everybody because then they wouldn't go look it up. But look up U.S. flag code and it'll tell you. But that's just an indicator of so many other things in our society that is, it's just waters everything down. Nothing means anything anymore. And it just kind of makes me angry. So on Freedom Friday, I wanted to bring that up.
There you go.
Yeah. And, you know, people do care, but they just don't know what to do. Hey, we got Gail in Columbus on the phone. Let's see what's on Gail's mind. Gail, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am with the Stillwater Republican Women, and we're taking a stand to get Tester out of office by getting the word out and by selling bumper stickers for a scholarship fund. My husband and I and other people put them on the back window of their behind the driver's seat, so they're highly visible, and it kind of plants a seed. We have a Facebook page that gives you the information concerning how to get in touch with me. We need to get these out all over the state.
Sure. What's
your... say Tester equals deep state and Tester equals swamp rat.
All right. How do, what's your Facebook page? How do people find that?
Just go onto Facebook and do Stillwater Republican Women.
Stillwater Republican Women. And they can order a bumper sticker there, or does it have a phone number or something they can call?
They call me, and I'm happy to go ahead and take the order. Anything over 25 of them, I'll send free postage.
All right.
Get it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. So everything is going well with the Republican Women up there in Stillwater County?
Yes, we're also doing canvassing of our voting register. We're also getting signatures for two initiatives that we have going, wanting to get on the ballot for 2024. So a lot of information going out, and we're doing education.
There you go. Well, thank you very much, Gail, for the phone call. I appreciate that. You know, that's doing something right there. See? And I talk about that where people tell politicians, do something. You have to do something to address what just happened. Well, that's not a good doing something, but this is a good doing something. Getting out there, talking to people, registering people to vote, doing all that sort of stuff. Oh, there you are.
Oh,
now you are.
I had you off. I was like, I'm not hearing my own voice here.
Yes.
Well, you know, and that brings up a point that I always think is important to our ballot initiatives, you know, where our citizens have direct access in a way to the ballot box. And, you know, there's good and there's bad in that. But what I always tell people is when you see that, it's an indication that something's not working right. If the people have to resort to the initiative process, means that the legislative process or the judicial process isn't working right, is the way I see it. Because our legislators should be able, if that's a valid way of doing something, but sometimes even our legislators will come back to us and say, we tried. The only way we're going to get this through and past the Supreme Court or this or that is the ballot initiative. But then at the same time, you see states that have ballot initiatives that then their states get hijacked by out-of-state groups that come in and manipulate that initiative
spend
to get something done.
There.
Yeah, and then they bypass the legislature, and then the legislature or the government entities are left trying to fix or to adjust to this ballot initiative.
Yeah,
I think it's a tightrope, but it's an interesting conversation to have too.
The thing that just kills me about these ballot initiatives is how often they are so poorly written that you can read it and not understand what a yes vote does and what a no vote does.
Right.
You know, it's by the time something gets on a ballot, there should be no question about what it means. And it should have been thoroughly vetted, rewritten, whatever, so that your average person can look at that and go, I know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes means this, no means this.
Right.
But it's that makes me angry. I don't like that stuff. Let's see. Here we have a message from Monty in Roundup.
Oh.
December 7th, a day that will live in infamy, now overshadowed by a minor disturbance that the left won't let die, known as January 6th. You know, I like his point. There are people that they care more about January 6th than December 7th.
Yeah.
And, you know, good point, Monty. there's also, I wanted to point out on the Montana Talks app, there is a story about youth crime. Here it is. Open letter from a Billings mom on youth crime in Montana. This is a very interesting letter. This is a honest letter written by a mother who had a son that had, you know, a difficult time and was, I guess you would call him a troubled youth. That's what they call him nowadays. Oh, okay. Yeah. And she tells her story there, and it's very thought-provoking. And, you know, in a nutshell, he had a lot of things he did wrong that he should have been punished for, but ultimately he really never was punished. You know, the courts kept letting him go and different things. And it goes along with this philosophy these days of, you know, if you're just kinder and gentler and nicer to criminals, then they'll stop committing these crimes.
Being kinder, gentler. Yeah.
Yes. And
it's the carrot and the stick. You know, there's both. There's a lot of, that's what I've learned in my experience with county government and city government, or even on the state level. You know, there's people that can benefit from rehab or redirection early on or whatever, but there's ultimately, and we're losing that. We're losing it on every level of the carrot and the stick.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing I do know, because I just made a statement about criminals. But here's one thing I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everything else, the corrections system, it's all about money.
Right.
It's not about rehabilitation.
Right.
It's about punishment and money. And, you know, it's... If you had a insider view of what happens there, I think most people would be very appalled,
right,
at the types of things that happen.
We can follow it up after the break, but you know, is it crime or is it punishment or rehabilitation? Because yeah. I'm not even sure we can answer that question honestly right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, more when we come back.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
This week I've been reporting from the 68th Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention taking place at Montana Expo Park in Great Falls. And not only are there agriculture leaders from the Big Sky State in attendance, but from national organizations like the National Association of Wheat Growers and the National Barley Growers Association. And one of the farmer leaders from Fairfield, Montana, just happens to be the vice president of the National Barley Growers Association, and that's Mitch Conan, and he shares more on the importance of the Farm Bill for barley growers.
Making sure that all of the policies are lining up in favor of the farmers, and making sure our safety net is accounted for. Crop insurance is another big one that we're always looking at and trying to make them programs better and make sure that everybody is covered under everything. Well, barley is a public sector crop, what they classify as a public sector crop, and it's used for feed, it's used for food, it's used for beer, it's used for distillers as well. And so, I mean, we're covering the whole gamut of everything on that farm. So it's a crop that is we need to have out there for everybody just to make sure we have food security within the country.
And of course, no barley, no beer. I'm Lane Nordland.
Attention.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so
George and Dennis.
That's right, filling in for Aaron.
20 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, you know, we've had a good show today.
It's
a little laid back from Aaron.
Yeah, he gets pretty intense.
He does sometimes. Yeah. But
he's got a small library.
We're just a lot goofier than he is. So, yeah, he does got a nice library here. And, you know, I just want to thank Travis for all his hard work getting all this stuff put out for us. And
thanks for the candy bars.
Yeah, that. So I mentioned that open letter from a Billings mom on youth crime in Montana. And that is on our Montana Talks app. You can go there and read that. It's kind of an eye-opener. And I think it's very important, though, because, you know, we're facing this thing now where there's a lot of things you can do and not even go to jail anymore.
Right.
Even here.
Right.
Right.
Well, and the criminals know it. They literally can go through a store with a calculator knowing what threshold they have to stay under. One of the things I learned that you'll see, and it happens a lot more, is stores are starting to put no trespass on people because if you're chronically shoplifting, it doesn't matter how many times they call the police and if they catch you or you get out the door with under a certain amount, then you get out the door. So they're just even preventing you from coming in. There's stores now that have facial recognition that their security isn't to catch you leaving. It's to keep you from ever coming in the building in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's... It's a unique take on how private business is starting to deal with this and deal with crime. But, you know, like we said just before the break, at some point, just in clarity as a society, we have to decide, are we rehabilitating people? Are we punishing them?
Yes.
I mean, what is our point to putting them in prison with 10 life sentences? What are we going to what are we accomplishing there?
Mm-hmm.
Or letting people, you know, that should be on misdemeanors or just get a slap on the wrist or get something early on to stop them from wanting to be in this cycle, instead of pushing it into a higher level of a crime so that somebody else is paying for it, because you know, a lot of the things within the judicial system come down to money,
right?
Is it going to be a city municipal offense, or, you know, and then the city taxpayers are going to pay for this person in jail, or does it get bumped up into a higher level crime, which then puts the bill on the states or on the state or the feds? And so person A, who's a bad person, or person B, who just has a chance of maybe being redirected. What are we doing, and why are we doing it?
Yeah,
because we're spending a lot of money, and we have a you know, statewide, our prison is full, our prisons are full, our jails are full locally across the state. What are we ultimately accomplishing, and what are our goals?
Yeah.
The carrot and the stick. Some people, they need a good spanking. And I said that. Oh my gosh.
All right.
You know, that'll get the phone set up. Or there's some that truly, you know, have mental health issues that need to be redirected into those services.
Yeah. So, yeah. And here.
And our youth services, detention is just as full.
Yeah.
That's the sad part is, you know, you can go to these jails and a lot, most of the people in them are not your shoplifters. In fact, they're not. You're going to find people, the murderers, the rapists, the domestic violence. I mean, these are pretty hardcore people.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that we've talked about earlier was the willingness, one, by some people, like the people that are supposed to be enforcing the law, upholding the law, that sort of thing, are their willingness to turn a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
Our president's willingness to ignore the Constitution and admit it out loud. And, you know, here's a story right here. Just same type of thing.
Okay.
Jeffrey Epstein flight log subpoena request denied by Democrat-led Senate Judiciary Committee.
What?
So why wouldn't they want to get to the bottom of all this stuff?
Yeah.
Why would... You got to ask yourself this.
Yeah.
So if this guy broke the law, was convicted of it, And now somebody wants to look into these flight logs, which are supposedly tells us who he was associating with.
Well, it's an island. I mean, there's pretty limited access. I mean, it's if you own an island, there's only a couple of ways you actually get to that island, right? And if that's what you're doing on that island, then whoever's on those planes or those boats or whatever, maybe should be looked into.
Yeah, and you know, this is the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah,
and you know, Dick Durbin is the one who blocked a request, and. Really? I just think that was Senator Blackburn. But, you know, it,
but without they should law want and order, to know. Yeah, you know, it's, it, well, we said this earlier in the show, too. Follow the rules, follow the laws. And life could be very simple. But, you know, when we start playing politics with it and it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. Or I use it to, I politicize it or I turn it into a political weapon. You know, I weaponize any of it just out of spite instead of out of justice. You know, are we looking for justice? What are we doing as a society? And I think that's where right now everything is very confusing and people are very frustrated in our communities because we're not sure.
Yeah.
I think you could have a public debate and it would go on for hours.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Here's something.
Yeah.
Impeaching Biden? ? Montana congressman weighs in. Representative Rosendale said, I do not believe that you're probably going to be able to get an impeachment, a removal of President Biden. I do think if our Department of Justice acted in a legitimate manner, that there's enough facts that are already laid out that are on the table because of all the great work that Jamie Comer has done, that we can see that the Biden crime family has major problems. You know, that kind of makes me angry because... Wow. We have tons of proof that they've taken this money from all of these countries, that he abused his office, that his son got rich, that he benefited from all this stuff. And basically, they're not going to do anything. I mean, they should arrest the guy. They really should. And I can't believe that some people are okay with a president breaking some laws, but not other laws. Right. Or, you know, how about a president that didn't break any laws they just don't like and, you know, they want to throw him out of there. But when you got a guy who he and his whole family have made millions and millions of dollars illegally, they're not going to do anything. But, you know, these politicians rarely punish themselves.
Right.
You know, rarely.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They'll just form a committee. They'll look into it. And then pretty soon the next thing will happen. They'll start a war and we'll forget about it.
We're distracted and we're like, oh, that's not as important as this going on. And next thing we know, it's just kind of...
Forgotten.
Yeah, forgotten.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just want... What I want is politicians and their families to... be subject to the same laws that me and my family are.
Yep.
So, you know, somebody once asked me, you know, why do you keep talking about Hunter Biden? He's not president. Well, that's true. He's not president, but he's the son of the president and he shouldn't get treated better than my daughter.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's important. That's why it matters.
Yep.
We have to keep an eye on this type of stuff because the more that becomes the norm, then the more we forget.
Well, and there's a temptation to do it. I mean, I literally, and you know, I'll take this very gently, but, you know, at one point, one of my kids got in trouble. And the police called and they go, you know, Mr. Pittman, what do you want us to do? And I finally said, I want you to do your job.
Yeah.
She doesn't, you know, she's not getting anything special than if it was your daughter.
Right.
I want you to do your job and let the process work its way the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And, you know, and... I, after I got off the phone, I was like, why was that phone call even made?
Yeah.
You know, just that shows the problem. One of the problems in the system is, no, there shouldn't be any more special thing for the elected official as it is the citizen.
Right.
And people would get, you know, I would get more frustrated when a person would call me and say, and I'll do this very simply. There's a pothole in front of my road. I keep calling Public Works. They won't fix it.
Yeah.
Can you call? I call, and then they call back the next day, and they're like, that's awesome. Thank you for getting my pothole fixed. And I'm like, no, now I'm really, really mad that your pothole got fixed because it shouldn't have taken my phone call. You calling and saying there's a pothole hole should have been able to take care of it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have taken my phone call.
Exactly. But, you know,
we're almost out of time.
Almost.
And
well,
we're going to potholes. I started with potholes. That ought to open up some.
That's right. We got one more break. We got Sean and Libby on the phone. Perfect. And we'll be wrapping this thing up here pretty soon. But stick around. It's Montana Talks.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back, everyone. George and Dennison for Aaron. We got Sean and Libby. Wants to talk about prison solutions. Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Sean.
Yes, sir. I didn't catch your guest's name. I'd like to say hello to him. I didn't catch his name.
Dennis Pittman.
All right, Dennis. Hey. Good morning.
And good morning.
Good morning to you, Aaron. Yes, sir. Just a thought. Many of the incarcerated have skills, very good skills, and if they don't, that I believe that the prison system would do well in developing the trade schools, machining, welding, electronics, electrical, so that those who will be released eventually would have a footing, a foundation to go back into society with. Now, maybe they already have that, so I may be ignorant on the matter. I know they do, you know, license plates and this kind of thing, but I think you got a lot of skilled people in the prisons.
Learn some trades.
And,
yeah.
And, yes, sir. And even up to the point where they're able to be counseled on how to develop patents for good ideas that will benefit society, and so that if they have family, the families can go ahead and benefit from the patents of the husbands or their daughters or whoever's in jail.
And, just because they're in jail doesn't mean they're not intelligent or capable of, I mean,
exactly.
Some of them have just used their abilities for wrong things and to get them doing that.
Or, you know, it's pretty easy to find yourself in jail. I mean, through, you know, you don't have to do a lot, let's say, to find yourself there. It could happen to anybody.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, wrong place, wrong time sort of thing. And that can happen to anybody. So,
yep.
And so there needs to be some understanding that productivity is probably the best therapy for anybody who's incarcerated and give them hope.
Yep. I know that there's a big focus on making sure they're getting their high sets or their high school graduation. Some of them are there without that. I know here in Yellowstone County, we try to get them even to have, like, as they're coming out of the jail, to have their safe serve certification, just some basic things that will give them a leg up and getting back on their feet.
That's extremely important.
Yeah.
It is. And, so that's all I got to say, Aaron. And,
thanks, Sean.
Good talking with you.
You right. Betcha.
Thanks,
yeah, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You know, there's so much that I know about this system.
Yeah.
That I wish I could just talk about. I'd get myself in trouble, and I've already had enough of that for a
we'll
while.
We'll both be in jail, and then all of a sudden, the George and Dennis show will be over.
We're
live from the Yellowstone County Detention Center.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking more like...
or the Montana State Prison.
State Prison, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's I've known people in there, and I know there are good people in there.
Yeah.
That, you know, didn't necessarily... for whatever reason they got there. It's not always a violent crime or whatever. It's just, you know, they're there.
Yeah.
And they make it very difficult. They play games with you. And I'm talking the people running the prison. Play games with you. They don't make it easy on you. They make it very extra difficult on you to do the most basic, simple things. And it's a way to punish them.
Right.
And that's all that it is.
And you know, and so what I would do when I was a commissioner, I would take groups through the jail. And I always started the tour with, okay, George, as of today, without any notice, you're in jail. And you're in jail for 30 days. What happens to your life, even in that 30 days? You've lost your job. Socially, the community is talking. Since you've lost your job, you're now losing your house or your apartment or your car. And all these things, they just are catastrophic that even if I let you out in 30 days,
you're having a hard time ever catching up, and
not guilty, or you're out on bond, and the whole bonding system's quite a process I learned about, you are in a hole that will take years to dig out of.
Right. Absolutely. And, it's so eye-opening to get involved if you know somebody that's in there.
Yeah.
and have any correspondence with them and follow along. It's very, very difficult. And the crazy thing is, you could be a squared away individual, like have an income, have a house, have a car, have a job, have all that when you get out, but they treat you just as bad as somebody that doesn't have any of that stuff.
Right.
And it's disappointing, but I digress. I'm just gonna let that go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so I think we're almost out of time.
We
too.
Are just about.
We're gonna have. Can we end with Christmas music? Just
well, started. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
He's got a thumbs up.
There you go.
All right. So.
Well, I'll be back next Friday.
Okay.
You're welcome to come back next Friday.
I'd love
Friday
to come back
like
next
to.
Friday. We'll see if they want the George and Dennis show back. Or yeah. Depends on Aaron. Will go. Oh my gosh, we gave him one day.
Yeah. Look what he did with it.
We always say that complaints. Call Aaron on Monday.
Call Aaron, yeah. Or if you have phone calls about UFOs and things,
that's
call
right.
Aaron.
Call
He'll
Aaron
be back
on
Monday.
He'll be back on Monday.
All right.
And
well,
we got some people on the phone,
much.
And sorry we couldn't get to you.
Sorry we didn't get to you today. Call back next Friday, or better yet, during the week, and Aaron will be a better, much better job with you than we do. Well, thanks a lot,
thanks.
Everybody. Hey, it's time to start wishing people a Merry Christmas. Let's get in that holiday spirit. Christmas cookies, babe.